Salutations, everybody, and welcome to another episode of This Is Getting Graphic, a show where two friends celebrate the wildest and wackiest that comics and graphic novels have to offer. I am, of course, one of your hosts, Phil Oberholzer.
And I am your other host, Andrew Kilpatrick. So here's a question for you, Phil. Are you ready to make $1 billion with this episode?
I would say yes. I would also like two other wishes from a genie.
Well, you know, if it happened for Disney, it could happen to us.
This is it. This is the sponsorship. We're finally getting the sponsorship.
Yeah, man.
Hey. This is how we get into Disney.
All right. So, Phil, so when you think about the Avengers, Avengers, who do you think about? What do you think about?
I think about a team of superheroes from vastly different origins with vastly different powers. I know that applies to literally every superhero team ever created. But if I'm talking to the basics, God, you can list so many. You know, you think of Iron Man, Thor, the Hulk, Captain America, of course.
No, he's not here.
Is he not?
He's not here.
Seriously? He wasn't in the original Avengers?
He was not in the original lineup, actually. Yeah.
That's so weird. I always associate him as being the leader of the Avengers.
I know.
Sure everybody does.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, it's one of those fun little things where it's like, he wasn't there at the beginning. He didn't come in until issue 4, actually.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's going to be so weird. I know we're doing an Avengers story today, but it's going to be so weird doing it without him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But also, I would say that when we take a look at this book, what we're going to be taking a look at is really a bunch of solo stories that somehow come into a friggin' team book here. And you'll see what I mean when we get into it, but
isn't that kind of how they cobbled together the first Superman story?
I mean,
doing this again?
It's got more cohesion than that. Like, there's not literal cutting and pasting of comic strips here, I will say that much.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. So, what we're going to be taking a look at today is, in our continued efforts to look at the first stories of characters and see where, you know, the origins came about, we're going to take a look at The Avengers, number one. Save the city,
help us win. I can smell the copyright claims coming.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, as long as we're not showing any of the panels or anything, right?
Well, no, and if anybody is actively seeing those panels on our podcast, considering it's audio only, I would have some concerns.
I'm frightened, yeah, actually. So, the Avengers came about because Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, again, looked at the Justice League of America, and they were like, hey, this book is a whole bunch of their heroes. Hanging out together. The Avengers, their first lineup was all made up of characters who weren't in, they were in their own titles, but they weren't their own self-titled series. So, like, for example, Iron Man was not appearing in a series called Iron Man at that time.
Really?
He was appearing in a book called Tales of Suspense. And so it was like Tales of Suspense featuring Iron Man. And, like,
that's really cool. It's like Action Comics and Detective Comics all over again.
Exactly, yeah. So, the approach that they were taking with the Avengers was to create a similar team lineup to what was going on with the Justice League over at DC, and to do it with characters who, you know, they had their own books, but they perhaps weren't necessarily their best sellers. You know?
Okay.
So, like, you had, the Fantastic Four was doing numbers. Like, the Fantastic Four was their best-selling book at the time.
Well, and then the number four is in it. Of course they're doing numbers.
And then you had, Spider-Man, who, his book had just come out that year, and that was doing really well, too, and that, his book was The Amazing Spider-Man, so his name was right there in the title. But like I said, for the other characters who were in the book, they either did not have their own self-titled series, or in the case of the Hulk, their self-titled series had just been canceled. So,
Bruce!
Yeah. So, for the original lineup of the Avengers, we're just going to go over and touch on each of these characters' origins just very briefly so that, you know, we know from whereof we're talking about here.
Okay.
So first off, we've got Iron Man, who's appearing over in, like I said, Tales of Suspense. So his deal was Vietnam was going on at the time. So Iron Man, Tony Stark, is on a tour with his weapons in Vietnam. And he's caught in a trap where shrapnel enters into his body. And, you know, they're like, he's gonna die in, like, a week. But that week will give him enough time to build weapons for us. So, So they put him in this setup with this other scientist by the name of Ho Yinsen, and they're working together to, like, instead of building weapons for these people, they're working on a way to save Tony's life. So they build the first Iron Man suit, and how it's structured is like it's powered by these transistors. You know, fun, fun 60s lingo that could do anything. But yeah. So essentially, the Iron Man suit was a big old iron lung. So like the idea was, the chest plate was keeping Tony alive. So he had to keep the chest plate on at all times, and he had to regularly like recharge it back in these early days to make sure that the shrapnel didn't enter his heart.
How did he hide that under his business suit?
That is an excellent question.
Wow, Tony never skips chest day.
He's gotten really bulky since he went to Vietnam. Wow.
Speaking of which, they really did, for the first Iron Man movie, just update this story, but brought it into, I think it was Iraq instead of Vietnam.
It
might have
been Afghanistan. I actually don't remember. It might have been Afghanistan. It's been a while since I've seen Iron Man, but yeah. But yeah, it's one of those origins that can really work with any time period. You just gotta, you know, switch it up a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's what we got going on with Iron Man, and he's still wearing that original suit in this first appearance in the Avengers here. So then we've got... we've got Thor, and Thor was appearing over in Journey into Mystery, was his title.
Ooh, yeah. Nice title.
Yeah. So, Thor, at this point, he has a secret identity. Thor is a man by the name of Dr. Don Blake, who
he's
was...
He's a doctor?
Yes, he's a medical professional. So, he's got a lame leg, and he's vacationing in Norway... when all of a sudden, aliens touch down on the other side of the field from where Dr. Don Blake is standing.
I'm sorry. Aliens in a Thor story. A Thory, if you will.
Buddy, it's 60s Marvel. So, it's aliens, it's nuclear radiation, it's... There were, you know, a lot of plots that Stan... and Jack and Steve milked out of, you know, aliens and shit like that. So,
and yet magic was not one of them. Or mythology.
Oh, it certainly was. Because seeing these aliens touch down, Dr. Donald Blake goes to hide in this cave where he finds a stick that he, like, bashes on the ground trying to get out of this cave after they've sealed him in. And the cane transforms instantly into a magical hammer and transforms Don Blake himself into the mighty Thor.
I feel like there's a middleman there that we could have cut out. Why didn't he just find a hammer?
Because the cane was something that he was able to use in his everyday life and be able to, like... he'd have his hammer on him at all times, and in order to become Thor, he'd just hit the cane down on the floor, and yeah.
Okay, that's actually pretty badass. I'm back on board.
Yeah, so Dr. Donald Blake becomes Thor, goes out, defeats the stone men from Saturn, and takes the cane back with him to the United States, where he uses it to superhero as Thor. And we later find out that it turns out that this was actually an act of fate, because Odin, Thor's father, in an effort to teach Thor humility, sent him to Earth in the identity of Dr. Don Blake. And Thor does not remember this. So for a while, he thought that Don Blake and Thor were like his dual identity. But it turned out that Don Blake was Thor all along.
Interesting. Interesting. Yes. I can't say I hate that. That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a retcon, but it makes it all make sense with the mythology and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then
we've got... Also, please tell me we're going to cover the battle with the Stone Men from Saturn at some point.
At some point. Absolutely we are. We're going to talk about
good.
That shit.
Because that sounds insane.
Absolutely it is. So then we've got... Bruce Banner, the Hulk.
Nice.
And so his deal is Bruce Banner was an atomic scientist who worked out in, I think they made it New Mexico. It's been a while since I touched on Hulk number one. But he is working on this gamma bomb, this most amazing bomb that they've ever made in history. And he's working for the military. And on the day that they're going to test this bomb, there is a teenager by the name of Rick Jones who drives right onto the test site. And Bruce Banner's like, holy fuck, there is a kid on the pitch. We can't have this. Hey, stop the timer. And so he's running out there to get the kid off. But nobody stops the timer, partially because one of the other guys who's working on this gamma bomb with him is actually a Soviet spy. So,
no!
Yes, so he doesn't have him stop the timer. And so when Bruce goes out there, he's like, get off the field! Get off the field! And he shoves Rick Jones out of the car, gets him into a trench. But then the gamma bomb goes off, and Bruce takes the full brunt of it. And... Oof. That night, he transforms into a large gray beast with, giant...
Gray?
Gray, yes. The Hulk was originally gray in his coloring.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they later retconned it that the Gray Hulk is one of the identities that Bruce is able to take on. Like, it's... So, how it's been retconned in recent years is that, Bruce has... a form of dissociative identity disorder wherein, and that's like, he had it before he became the Hulk, but becoming the Hulk has only exacerbated it. So like, there are various, personas and personalities that Bruce has taken on over the years. The one that we're looking at here today is, typically called the Gravage Hulk by fans.
Gravage?
Yeah. It's like a combination between Gray and Savage. So, like, he's got the Gray Hulk's conniving kind of personality and the Green Hulk's strength and power. So, like, the Gray Hulk is smaller than the Green Hulk. And, you know, this is going into, like, some wild retconned Hulk territory. But basically what we need to know here is that the Incredible Hulk was canceled with issue 6. Which is why... Mm-hmm. Originally the transformations only took place at night. But then...
Like a werewolf.
Exactly, yeah. So, but then he'd turn into Bruce Banner again come morning. But then they changed it so that he'd turn into the Hulk when exposed to a gamma device that he built with the help of Rick Jones. And Rick Jones would be the one who would control that. Like, he'd be the one who'd hit the button and turn him into the Hulk when he asked to. That way it was out of his hands. But also... they have since, you know, went with it further that it's caused by, you know, emotional stress. So
naturally.
Yeah, by the end of his solo series, that's where we're sitting. And in fact,
that's his secret.
Yeah.
He always has a gamma device.
Doc, I think you need to get angry. Hit the button, Cap.
That's my secret, Cap. I've always been gray.
So that's where we're at with the Hulk in terms of this story. And then our final members of the Avengers are Ant-Man and the Wasp. So
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're appearing over in a title called Tales to Astonish.
Ooh.
Yeah, so how we get Hank Pym initially is Stan wrote he plotted it. I think it was his brother, Larry Lieber, and I'll cut this part if I'm wrong about that. But he was the one who actually wrote the story. Stan plotted it, and Jack Kirby drew it, and it was a science fiction story about a man discovering, like, a shrinking formula and having this, like, terrifying adventure in an anthill. and...
Oh, God, that sounds awful. As someone that doesn't like bugs, that yes. sounds like a horrific nightmare.
So that was Dr. Hank Pym. And then, like, he gets out of it okay and, you know, grows back to his proper height. And then Stan harkens upon the idea, you know, I kind of liked this story. What if I made him into a superhero? And so what he did was he took the Hank Pym character, he revamped him a little bit, gave him, like, a helmet that made him able to communicate with and control ants, and, you know, refined the shrinking formula a bit so that he could, you know, just do it whenever he wanted to. And that gave us Ant-Man. So, yeah.
I don't know why I didn't realize that his helmet allowed him to talk to ants.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just go over and be like, hey, ants, what's up?
It sounds really weird, but I never associated Ant-Man with actually being able to interact with ants. Like, yeah, he can shrink down and then, like, hop on one, and then they both grow, and now he's got a giant ant.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine this man just, like, shooting the breeze with ants.
Oh, he does.
You guys got any good dirt?
Well, I've been eating a lot of shit lately.
Really? Do tell. And that's the comic.
Yeah. So then, a few issues later, he gets a partner in the form of Janet Van Dyne, who is the daughter of a scientist colleague of his. And the colleague is killed under mysterious circumstances. It turned out there were interdimensional aliens involved, because this was 60s Marvel, and...
Aliens.
Mm-hmm. And so, in order to help solve her father's murder, Hank Pym reveals to her his identity as Ant-Man, and, he gives her this, his own shrinking formula. They're called Pym particles, by the way, because, yeah. You know, Hank Pym's named them after himself. But so, he gives Janet, Pym particles of her own, and a set of wings that emerges when she shrinks down. So, she becomes the Wasp.
They just, like, come out of her back?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, they're like,
Are they robotic? Are they biological?
I think they're implied to be, a biological apparatus of some sort. Like, he came up with it, kind of... And it's been a while since I revisited this story, so if I'm wrong, by all means, whoever's listening, correct me. But they're this apparatus that emerge when Janet shrinks down. And so they solve the murder and fight the interdimensional aliens and defeat them. And Janet decides to stick around with Hank as his partner in crime fighting, as the Wasp. So Ant-Man and the Wasp are now a team.
I just think back to Wolverine and how his, like, claws come out of his hands.
Uh-huh.
Except it's a set of wasp wings coming out of this lady's back. And also, she does not have Wolverine's healing factor, so...
Yeah!
I'm just imagining... exactly. Like, all right, Hank, we need to go fight this bad guy.
And so that's where we're at with our lineup for the Avengers. Very quickly, I'd also like to mention that the villain of our tale today is going to be Loki, who is...
Okay.
Yes, so Loki has already appeared at least once in Thor's book. And so,
naturally,
as it happens, Loki is currently being punished for something else that happened in a Thor story. Now,
why would that happen? Loki has always been an upstanding, rule-abiding citizen.
Absolutely. Like, I wouldn't suspect that guy of doing anything wrong, right?
Nor mischievous.
All right, so let's hop into the book itself, the book proper. So let's take a look at our cover first. And what we've got here is a pretty standard group shot. Like, it's the whole team kind of stacking up and getting ready to hop on Loki, who is only seen from the back on this particular cover.
I'm sorry, I've seen it before, but Iron Man's old suit always cracks me up. He looks like the Tin Man's scary cousin.
It's pretty chunky. It is. So, which leads to even more questions about how he hid that that bulky chest piece while he's, you know, doing, like, businessman stuff.
Seriously, though, that is a horrible, horrible leak into your secret identity.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I wonder who Iron Man could be. Maybe it's this guy walking around with a golden breastplate.
So yeah, it's actually a pretty great cover. There's not a lot that I can think of to make fun of with it, except it looks like Iron Man is trying to grab Ant-Man for some reason as we're looking down at the direction of his hands. Like it just looks like he's trying to squish Ant-Man. Like he looked down and is like, "Ah, a bug!"
"Come here, little friend. If I pick you up and throw you at the villain, maybe you can defeat him."
But another quick thing I'd like to point out from this cover is, at the top, it states, you know, the characters who are in this book. And you've got Thor, Ant-Man, Hulk, Iron Man, and that's it!
What? They don't mention Wasp?
Wow, alright, fuck you guys, I guess.
Seriously, I remember back in the Fantastic Four how Stan was like, "I want to make sure I have a female hero." Great representation here, Stan.
Good job, good job. It's not like the Wasp was there. Thor on this cover is yelling out, "Loki, prepare for battle!" To which Loki is responding, "The Avengers? Bah! I'll destroy you all!"
I don't think that's gonna happen, dude, considering one of the guys there beat your ass by himself.
Yeah, really.
Puny god.
So we hop into the story proper, and we start with Loki, actually, and he's a prisoner on the dreaded Isle of Silence, plotting awesome revenge against his mighty enemy, Thor, the Thunder God.
"I'm finally going to put you in a place where you'll shut the fuck up."
So, Loki's sitting here and, like, brooding, and he's just like, "It's because of Thor that I am exiled to this barren isle and ordered to remain here by Odin, king of the gods. But, though my body may be imprisoned, none can stop my magic powers from roaming the universe in search of revenge."
That seems like a horrible security breach. Nobody thought to put a magic dampener on this island where magic prisoners are put?
I would think that Odin would have some kind of solution going on instead of just leaving him there. But as we can see, Loki is able to reach out with his, quote, thought projection. And he is observing both Asgard. He's observing Asgard to start out with. And he's like, "I've got to find a way to make Thor come back to Asgard, where I can battle him here and defeat him forever."
I just love, "Father, I have imprisoned Loki on the Island of Silence. You did put a way for him not to cast magic there, correct? My son, you are going to laugh."
So he goes to Earth with his thought projection now, and he sees Thor in his identity as Dr. Don Blake, where he is treating a child, and, you know, he's like, "If I beat him as Don Blake, it would mean nothing to me. It would be a hollow victory."
I mean, good on you, Loki, for wanting to fight fair and square, but at the same time, you literally just found out your arch nemesis' secret identity. That it would be so easy for you to just go up and down the street now going, "That guy's Thor. Hey, hey, that guy's Thor. Hey, dude in the taxi cab, that guy's Thor. Hey, lady on the corner, that guy's Thor."
"I know, I'm the Invisible Woman."
"How am I able to see you?"
"Well, I'm not invisible
also,
right now.
Also, why am
now?
I from New Jersey for some reason?" "I'm gonna go get a sandwich, and while I'm in there, I'm gonna tell the guy making the sandwich that guy's Thor."
So, Loki is basically just like, "All right, I've got to find a way to make Dr. Don Blake become Thor, so I must scour the earth until I find such a menace as he can fight." And so... What?
No! Hit him when he's... If you're a bad guy, hit him when he's weak! Why would you want him to become ultra-powerful? Not only that, why would you want him to take the form he beat you in the first time?
Well, because Loki wants to prove his superiority. That's why he wants to beat him as Thor. He's even said, "It would mean nothing to me if I beat him as Dr. Don Blake."
I guess, but I don't know, buddy. You're setting yourself up for failure.
He kind of is. But so he's looking around on the Earth, and he sees a huge figure flying through the air. And then he's like, "Oh, wait, he's not flying. He's covering the area in fantastic, powerful leaps. Now I see, it is the Incredible Hulk." How do you know that?
You never met this guy before. Also, when you said powerful leaps, before you said it was the Incredible Hulk, I was imagining these, like, long-legged ballet leaps. And now, please, anybody who's listening, I need fan art of the Hulk flying through the air in, like, a stretch-leg ballerina jump.
Are you thinking, like, you know the end of the SpongeBob movie where Patrick is wearing those big old fishnets?
Yes, with the boots.
Yes, that's what we need. That's what we need. But so
he's covering the area in great leaps and just arms over the head, daintily jumping.
Hulk graceful.
Hulk get into Swan Lake for sure.
But so he's watching the Hulk and he's like, there is no evil in his heart, but mankind fears him because of his awesome strength. So he shall be the perfect foil for me.
Okay, bit of a jump in logic there, but I kind of see where you're coming at. I also think they fear him because if they mildly annoy him, he is going to crush them into a tuna can.
There's a lot going on here. But so,
yeah, Loki's making some assumptions.
He is, he really is. But so, Loki spies that the Hulk is hopping over a railroad trestle. And so what he does is he projects a mental image of a bundle of dynamite on the railroad trestle. So, like, he's making it look like this dynamite is about to explode and completely blow up this trestle. And the Hulk spots it and leaps down at it to try and shove the TNT off the trestle and winds up smashing the trestle himself.
Good job, Hulk. Way to be a Butterfingers.
So, he's completely smashed the bridge, just as a passenger train is starting to head for the trestle. And the Hulk sees this, and he basically picks up a boulder, goes under the destroyed trestle, and holds up the destroyed trestle himself to let the train go over it unharmed. But while he's doing this, his head pokes up out of the tracks, and the people driving the train are like, "Oh no, it's the Hulk! He did this! He's trying to kill us all!"
He's actively holding up the bridge, everybody. Look at what he's doing right now.
So he holds up the bridge, the train goes across, and then the Hulk lets go, and the bridge collapses behind them. And Loki is like, "Oh, he saved the train. But only I know that! The humans will still think that he tried to slay them and the hunt will be on!"
Yes, only I know that, because apparently nobody on this entire train has two working human eyes!
Hey, was that guy, green guy holding up the bridge? No, he tried to destroy it and kill us all! It was horrible! Are you sure?
I was too busy running around screaming to notice him saving us!
But so
also I love the headcanon that like Hulk leaps up to grab this dynamite. There's no dynamite there. He crashes through the bridge, lands like on his face at the bottom of this canyon, and then Loki just like shows up beside him going, "You just got pranked, son."
Hulk fool.
Look at that camera. You're on Asgardian Punked.
Oh, Hulk loved that show. He watched it on Mojo Vision all time.
Sponsor us, Mojo Vision.
Please no.
Meanwhile, in the background, the train is just like careening into the canyon.
So as Loki has planned, the news hits the newspapers that the Hulk has attacked a train, and then so who should pick up a newspaper and look at this story but Rick Jones, who is the Hulk's sidekick in this particular instance.
So this is remote news. Control Hulk.
At this point, the transformation is controlled by stress. So,
okay.
Yeah, he's not using the gamma device anymore. But so he and Rick have actually parted ways at this point.
Aww,
so Rick
okay.
is, yeah, but Rick sees the news and he's like, "Well, it can't be. He'd never do a thing like that. Or would he? I don't know, actually.
It's
Maybe
been a while."
He would. So Rick goes to a group of teenagers called the Teen Brigade, which was formed in the last issue of Incredible Hulk. And basically, their whole shtick is they use ham radios to try and pick up, you know, distress calls or any kind of threat and redirect it to, you know, the proper channels or try to solve it themselves. So Rick Jones goes to the Teen Brigade and he's like, we need to contact somebody with equal powers to try and prove the Hulk's innocence. Like the Fantastic Four!
No! No! Do not call them! They will not help you!
They'll irradiate your bays!
They'll
Look
irradiate
out.
Your bays and make fun of you for being mildly unattractive! Do not call them!
So, they use their special wavelength to call the Fantastic Four, and Loki sees that this is going on, and he's like, "No, the Fantastic Four will ruin everything! It's Thor I want!"
Yes, they will!
So Loki gets it.
Yeah! Loki hasn't even been here for this, and they understand.
So Loki uses his powers to jam the radio waves and divert them to a different location, one which he, quote, knows Don Blake is listening to. So Don...
How?
So Don Blake's sitting here listening to some smooth jazz, and I guess what appears on his phone is, "Contact the Teen Brigade! Hulk must be found! Do you read us?" And Don Blake leans over and he's like, "Huh, I think somebody's trying to call Thor. That's weird."
Yes, my name was not mentioned once. Clearly they're trying to call me.
Yeah, really, I don't know why he fucking just assumed.
Also, you mentioned earlier that this Teen Brigade was created at the, like, waning days of the Hulk story.
In the final issue, yeah.
You know your comic is about to go under when they are actively creating another superhero team in your superhero story.
It was a backdoor pilot for the Teen Brigade, it turns out.
Exactly! Let's take this weird gray monster and actually make something cool out of it.
Well, he was green by this point. He was green for the and I didn't talk about this, but he was green by the second issue because they found out that the printer was having trouble with gray ink. So they were like, "All right, let's make him green instead." And it's eventually,
let's make him green and give him purple pants.
But yeah, so it's that's why he's green. But so anyway, so Don Blake hears this message and he's like, "Well, if this concerns the Hulk, it must be serious. So I should probably actually help out with this." And he pounds the cane on the floor and becomes Thor. And,
cool.
So he starts to head for the southwest. And then, at this point, it turns out that, Loki's redirection of the radio message was not perfect, because others have also intercepted the message. We see Ant-Man and the Wasp, who assume, as Dr. Donald Blake did, that the message is meant for them. So...
Why? Why are they making this assumption? None of their names were mentioned.
So it looks like they're getting ready to launch themselves out of this, like, special cannon in their shrunken form so they can, like, ride the ants to their destination. And Wasp is running up like, "Wait for me, Ant-Man!" And Hank Pym's over here like, "I thought you weren't coming, Jan. I can't see why you have to stop and powder your nose every time we have a mission." And I'm just sitting...
Your name's not on the comic.
You know, I didn't think you were coming to this one, Jan. I didn't see your name up
there.
Did
you see the cover? I didn't think you were even here.
But so, she's like, "Oh, Henry Pym, you're beginning to sound like a stuffy old bachelor again. And I intend to remain that way. Now see if you can't be quiet long enough for me to activate the double catapult." And I'm just sitting here like,
Jesus
Christ. Hank, why are you being such an asshole? So they start flying on a pair of flying ants apiece to get to the southwest.
Oh, thank you, Hank, for not making me explode my wings out of my back again.
Well, she even says, "Why do I have to use your silly flying ant relays? I happen to have my own wings." And Hank is just like, "We've got 1,000 miles to cover, Jan, and I don't want you exhausted when we get there." So, he's got his reasons.
I think that's my call, Doctor. Also, please stop undermining me.
Yeah, really, like, Hank's being an asshole to Jan for no reason this whole comic. And that's been criticized by other people before, who were like, "Stan, are you okay? Is there something going on at home?"
I also, personally, I actually like the Wasp more than I like Ant-Man, yes. So a part of me is like, fuck you, Wasp is cooler than you.
Absolutely she is. So then, we see that the message is also being picked up by Tony Stark, who's standing in his office, shirt off, with his chest plate just kind of hanging out for everybody
to
see.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. He's just in this golden, like, medieval, or not medieval, this golden Greek armor breastplate. And it's just nothing else, just pants.
Yeah, just his pants. And, like, anybody could walk in the room at this point. Like, Pepper could open up the door and be like, "Excuse me, Mr. Stark, your 3 o'clock is here. What the fuck are you wearing?"
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
So, he's like, "You know, I've always wondered whether the Hulk really existed and whether Iron Man's strength was a match for him. Looks as though I'll get a chance to find out." And so...
Yeah, in that suit, he probably picks up a lot of different radio waves, let's be honest.
So, he starts to fly there, from New York to the Southwest as well. Meanwhile, we cut back to the Teen Brigade, and they're all like, "Well, I guess the Fantastic Four never got the message." And then a second later, Rick Jones is like, "Hey, hold up, you guys! I'm getting something! It's Mr. Fantastic! He's calling!"
No! No! Of all the people in that team that could have heard this, why Reed?
So Reed answers the phone, and he's just like, "Hey, we just intercepted a message from you, Rick. It was broadcast on the wrong wavelength somehow. That's kind of weird.
Also, I assumed we were supposed to show up. Granted, we were actually mentioned this time."
So Reed is like, "So we can't really help you out because we're wrapped up in another case right now. But according to my calculations, your message may have been picked up by others who might be able to help you. If you don't get that help soon, just call me back and let us know."
I literally called you just to tell you we can't help you.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, they say they're wrapped up in another case, but from what I can see here, all that's happening is that, like, Ben is moving some sort of giant thing around their headquarters in the Baxter building, and, like, nothing else. Like, I don't know what case it is they're wrapped up in. Like, they only appear in one other panel, and I don't see them doing anything else. They're just, like...
Johnny is literally just flying around on fire for no reason.
Yeah, I have no idea what this case is that they're supposedly covering. But also, like, he's like, "All right, give us a call back if those others don't show up." But then Johnny back here is like, "Who else could ever do what we can do?"
What the fuck are you talking about, Johnny? Do you not watch the news?
Well,
these are established heroes.
I have to assume that he's thinking, you know, irradiating bays and starting brush fires and so...
And burying people beneath miles of rubble.
Who in no way were stopped in their nuclear struggles.
Oh my god. Thank god they're not coming to help.
Yeah, really. So, at that point, they're like, "So the FF can't make it, huh?" And at that point, Thor walks in the door right behind these kids, and he's like, "Didn't you send for me? Why are you so surprised?" And they're like, "Wow, it's Thor!"
No, we did not send for you. Why are you here?
And then, just behind them, Ant-Man and the Wasp fly in through the window, and Iron Man comes in through the other door that is in this, this place. So they're, like, all converging at the same time.
And then the Hulk explodes through the ceiling.
Hulk here, too!
This group should be called the Assumers.
We just assumed you called us, so we're here.
There is crime afoot, therefore we must be responsible for stopping it.
So, while Ant-Man and the Wasp are getting themselves set up by a projector screen so that they can project their images up on the wall and not have to, like, grow to their full height, Jan's over here like, "Did you see that gorgeous Thor? How can I ever make him notice me?" To which Hank replies, "Stop acting like a lovesick female and slip behind this lens with me!" And I'm like, Hank... You know, I really think this relationship is going to work out great.
Oh, yeah. I totally feel like both of these partners are equals and they respect each other wholeheartedly.
Absolutely.
Also, a little part of me is on Hank's side just going, "Jan, this is not the time. Please," or rather, writers, "please do not make Jan a lovesick love interest." But at the same time, I'm like, Hank, Fuck you. Why do you have to say it like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is like, I don't like the way that Stan is writing Jan in this issue, just because Jan is so much better than this. But also,
absolutely.
But I also don't like Hank being like an asshole either. Like, there's this undercurrent of sexism that is in this book that just is so uncomfortable. And I'm just kind of like...
Against the one female hero.
Exactly. And I'm sitting here like, are you okay, Stan? Is everything okay between you and your wife?
I wanted to quit.
It's been 2 years and I'm still here!
I thought the whole craziness on Monster Island would get me fired. Why am I writing this?
But so, Loki sees that they're all here, and he's like, oh, no, this is complicating things. I just wanted Thor. I don't care about any of these other people, so I'm going to lure Thor. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a mental projection of the Hulk and make him run past the window where Thor is standing.
This is becoming way more complicated than you need it to be, Loki.
So Thor looks out the window and he's like, oh my god, it's the Hulk! And Thor immediately leaves and he's like, well, there's no need for me to disturb the others. I can follow him by hurling my hammer. And so he chases after this projection of the Hulk. And
is this the origin of the Thor-Hulk rivalry that we see in the Marvel movies?
Well, so he basically sees after a little bit that the Hulk is a mental projection, and he's like, oh, this isn't the Hulk at all. Only Loki is capable of such wizardry. I should have suspected. He must be behind this.
Are you ever not going to fall for that?
But so at this point, Thor is just like, all right, I'm going to go find Loki now. So he... literally, and I love this panel, because it looks like Thor is literally just jogging up the Rainbow Bridge to get to Asgard so he can go and find Loki. And
Fuck.
But so back with the rest of them, Iron Man has realized that Thor has left, and he's just like, don't worry, kids. We're sure that Ant-Man will be able to find the Hulk and learn the truth. And so... we cut to where the Hulk is, and I'd like you to just go ahead and guess where you think that the Hulk is, and I'll tell you if you're right or wrong.
Oh, no. All right, I'm gonna start broad, and I'm gonna say somewhere on Earth.
He is, yeah, he is on Earth.
I honestly thought I was gonna be wrong.
No, you're right, he is still on Earth.
Let's see, he was in the southwest of America with the bridge trestle, with the train trestle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say somewhere in, like, the middle of the Sonoran Desert?
He is still in the southwest, but do you know what his exact location might be?
No, and I'm scared for the reveal?
So I am going to show you this panel that is the reveal of where the Hulk is. And let me tell you... you're not prepared for this.
Oh my god. Okay. Do you want to explain what I'm looking at?
No, I want you to say what you're seeing.
All right. Anyone who is listening this, I beg you to look up this panel because it appears to be the Hulk in full Hulk form, except he is wearing a yellow and red Ronald McDonald cosplay. And he is juggling an elephant, a horse, and a dog, I think? He is literally juggling animals for the circus after knocking down a train trestle. Is he supposed to be in disguise?
He is, yes. And in fact, we get what his disguise is from what the ringmaster's saying here, which is, there he is, ladies and gentlemen, Meccano, the most powerful lifelike robot on Earth. He walks like a man, he moves like a man, but he's as strong as a dozen bulldozers. Meccano, the marvel of the age.
How does nobody look at this guy and in this crowd and go, hey, is that the Hulk?
I mean, he's not hiding himself.
That is the worst disguise ever.
He's not hiding himself terribly well. He's just, you know, he slapped on some clown makeup and put on, as you rightly said, a Ronald McDonald suit.
Like, all I'm hearing is Pippin from Lord of the Rings going, the closer we are to danger, the farther we are from harm. That's the last thing they'll expect.
So this ringmaster is like, oh man, finding that robot was the greatest thing that ever happened to this show. We've been sold out every night this week.
Why the fuck do you think you found a robot? Was the Hulk just hanging out going, meep, morp, I am robot, give me innocent creature to juggle.
We never get an explanation for why these people think he's a robot, and we never get an explanation for how he joined this circus. So I'm just picturing the Hulk coming out here like, Hulk is mechano, Hulk is robot, Hulk juggle animals for you, Hulk mechano, Hulk mechano.
And this ringmaster is like, thank God I'm terrible at my job. This book really should be called The Assumers, because everybody is making assumptions that they have no backing to make.
So, the Hulk is continuing to perform in this circus, and he's lifting this entire lion cage, and we see his thoughts at this point, and they're like, they think I'm only a mechanical man, and as long as they go on thinking it, I'm safe.
I love that he is concerned about harming living things, so in order to do that, he is hiding out in a place where they make him actively juggle living things.
Yeah, it's not much for that whole Hulk only want to be left alone thing, is it?
Seriously! I sure hope nobody notices me. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
This is...
I sure hope nobody notices me as I bench press this elephant.
This is half the reason why I wanted to talk about this book, because this is bonkers to me. Like, looking at this just being like, was this your first idea? If so,
yeah.
Why?
Fucking Stan took a bunch of post-it notes with ideas, stuck them on a dartboard, then blindfolded himself, and threw three darts and saw Ronald McDonald juggling an elephant, and went, ah, that's the perfect idea to throw the Hulk into.
And Jack is over here just like, Stan, for the love of Christ, if you make me draw clown makeup one more time, I'm going to DC.
Jack, you're one of my most trusted friends. I know you can bring this to life. And just slowly slides the post-it that says Ronald McDonald in front of him. Stan, no. Trust me on this. It's gonna look great.
I want to find out when Ronald McDonald actually became McDonald's mascot, because this might very well be an anachronism, but I don't care.
Yeah. This is what inspired it.
Exactly. So, as the Hulk is lifting this lion cage, he is spotted on the floor by an ant. And this ant relays back to Ant-Man that there's this dude who is impossibly powerful performing at a local circus, and Ant-Man's like, oh hey, that could be the Hulk!
Thank you, random ant at the circus!
Exactly. So, Ant-Man and the Wasp go on ahead, and Iron Man is going to be following behind.
How does nobody realize how bonkers it is that Hank just went into a room and went, guys, I think I know where the Hulk is. A random ant at a random circus told me there's a big robot that can lift things. I trust this ant who that has the wherewithal to tell the difference between a regular human and a robot.
The boys are in trouble!
Listen, the ants are very smart, okay? Don't be mean to the ants.
I'm not blaming the ants. I'm blaming their capabilities just by the fact that they're ants. And I feel like that's a fair blame.
I suppose so. But so, Hank mentions to Wasp that Iron Man is going to follow behind. To which Wasp replies, oh, he's hideous. I wish he had gone instead of that dreamy Thor. And Ant-Man is over here just like, don't you ever think of anything except...
Apparently not, because Stan is writing you as a ditz, and that is not who you are!
Stan, stop projecting what I assume to be your own relationship issues onto these characters. Why are you doing this?
Have I mentioned the way that Jan always screws up Hank's dinner? That's terrible for Stan, I mean Hank!
And Jack Kirby over here like, Stan, I swear to God, if you do not take a 10-minute break right now and call your wife, I will hit you with this pencil.
And Stan is just like, What? We're writing good material here. We're on a roll. We don't want to stop now. So anyway, that bitch Jan keeps nagging.
So as they approach the circus, Hank gives these orders to a whole bunch of ants underneath the circus to weaken the ground and cause a cave-in directly beneath him. And so...
No! You're going Fantastic Four routes now. You're going to start wreaking havoc.
So what I assume to be millions of ants bite through the ground, and the Hulk falls into it, and he falls into this tiny, tiny little chasm that these ants have made. So you can see that the Hulk is really just squashed in there, but the Hulk just smashes his way out.
Oh, darn! I should have predicted that the Hulk is able to smash things!
I mean, really? So, the Hulk gets up out of the ground, and Ant-Man and the Wasp do a flyby, and they're like, "It is him! It's the Hulk!"
No shit!
And Hulk is just like, "What's that flying past me? Just a couple of bugs. No, they look like people! Well, I don't get this, but I don't like what I see. Gotta leave here, they're starting to close in!" So the Hulk starts to leave, and Ant-Man goes over to the microphone, and he's like, "I know who you are. I must speak to you. If you're innocent, I'll help you. I'm your friend."
"Go away. I speak to no one. I have no friends."
Is this still in the middle of the circus?
Yes, it is.
Is nobody hearing this? Like, I can't imagine a Hulk looking around going, "Meet Morp, Meccano must drain oil," and just, like, stiffly robot walking away as fast as he can.
Oh, no, everyone is seeing this, and in fact, this is just a distraction by Ant-Man, because as he is speaking, again, what I assume to be millions of ants are carrying a steel cylinder up one of the tent poles of the circus tent. And they're like, "If you won't stop, I'll make you stop. Release the steel cylinder, my tiny warriors!" So they drop it on the Hulk, and he's just caught in the middle of it.
That is an oil drum. They just dropped an oil drum on this poor bastard. How did nobody see that coming?
Oh, I don't know.
How did the Hulk or the crowd not see them lifting that oil drum up into the air?
Well, speaking of the crowd, they're all sitting here and, like, cheering because they think that this is all part of the act.
God damn it, crowds are stupid.
And at this point, the Hulk just tears himself out of the steel. And he's like,
"All right, I'm done with this. I'm just gonna go."
And he rips off his outfit. And Wasp is trying to distract him so that they can lure him under the trapeze net, because Hank and the ants have a plan.
Let's see. I've tried dirt. I've tried steel. Maybe rope will stop him.
I mean, really? Yeah. So, the Wasp is distracting the Hulk, and the Hulk picks up a friggin' bellows and puffs it in it straight at Jan, and she flies out of control, and then the Hulk grabs her between two of his gigantic fingers, and he's just like,
"No one can save you now."
Jesus Christ!
I have to assume that the Hulk is about to murder the Wasp.
Why does this book hate Jan? What did Jan Van Dyne ever do? What did she do to ever warrant this?
Not a damn thing, as far as I can tell. But so, at this point, Iron Man shows up. And he's just like, "I can save her!" And he starts going after the Hulk. And at that point, he receives a message from Ant-Man in his helmet where he's like, "Make him run toward the center of the arena. I've prepared a trap for him. Let him try to escape by leaping through the top of the tent." So Hulk leaps up and he becomes entangled in the safety netting on his way up. But then he just straight up takes the entire circus tent with him as he leaps away.
He broke through the ground and a steel oil drum, and yet he cannot escape through some simple netting. He just drags an entire tent with him?
Well, he eventually escapes from the netting by, like, curling the tent around this rock formation. and Iron Man is chasing after him, and unfortunately, the Hulk decides to, like, end his descent and just, like, leap into this area. So Iron Man flies right on over him, after which point the Hulk just straight up leaps on Iron Man and just starts punching him in the air.
Man, I sure wish I had showed up in time to see what this guy can do to steal.
And so he punches his chest plate, after which point we find out that Iron Man's chest plate is now damaged. So he's like,
oh crap,
I can't go after him until I repair my battery. And he looks over at him and he's like, Hulk, wait, I want to help you. You can't remain a fugitive forever. Come back. To which the Hulk is just like, I don't trust anybody, and starts leaping off again.
I will find another circus with blackjack and hookers.
So as the Hulk is...
Also, remember when Loki was part of this comic?
It's funny you should mention that, because at this point, we do cut to Asgard, where Thor is kneeling in front of Odin, and he says, Noble Odin, Lord of the Gods, grant thy son permission to visit Loki on the Isle of Silence, so that I may learn if he's responsible for some deviltry on Earth.
Okay.
And Odin's just like, all right, you can go, but listen to me. I can't interfere in whatever transpires between you and Loki, because you're my son, but he's also my son, and I love you both.
So I'm gonna stick him in an island where he is in no way inhibited whatsoever. This feels like Odin's actually the bad guy here.
He may as well be. So, Thor takes a boat, and he sets across the, quote, Sea of Mist in order to make his way to the Isle of Silence, where Loki is located. And,
whoops, this is Avalon, took a wrong turn.
But on his way there, he's assaulted by, these roots that, come up out of the swamp to try and, entangle him. And, he's able to get through them pretty quickly with his hammer. But then...
Okay.
As he is approaching, coming within sight of the isle, they say... Thor sees the gigantic volcano erupt with a roar of 1,000 thunderclaps. And I'm sitting here like, when did a volcano get involved in this?
And why did it just show up, apparently?
Yes, and so it erupts, and Thor is like, more of Loki's doing. Only he and I know the magic incantation that bring the flaming mountain to life. How do you know this?
If Loki is fucking around with volcanoes and able to make them erupt on magical command, why is he messing with, like, see-through sticks of dynamite?
I don't know. Like, there are ways around this whole thing, and this is not one of them.
Hey, I really want to make Thor come over here and fight me. I could make a volcano erupt in the middle of Times Square... Or I could create this giant Rube Goldberg machine of a plan where I make a see-through stick of dynamite, the Hulk crashes through a train trestle, the Hulk then tries to save the train trestle but is blamed anyway, the Hulk then joins the circus, and a bunch of superheroes that were never meant to show up suddenly show up, the Fantastic Four calls in for no reason and says we can't help you, and now Thor is fighting root monsters in my magic swamp.
Well, when you put it like that, it sounds completely sane and logical.
Also, the Hulk flies away with a circus tent. Like, I get he's the god of mischief, but this seems a little convoluted even for you, Loki.
This is incredibly just... This isn't mischief. This is just insanity.
Very much so. Very much so. This was all to get Thor to come over and fight him. You couldn't have sent a telegram?
No, apparently not. But so, this volcano is releasing what Thor calls gas globules that are capable of, quote, sapping the strength of any god and leaving him weak and helpless when they explode. So what Thor does is, to avoid this, he dives straight into the water and holds the boat and swims the rest of the way to the island. But then Loki, seeing the empty boat, is just like, have I defeated him so soon? And...
The boat made it all the way here! That's pretty impressive!
But so, at that point, a giant water spout shoots into the air, and Thor comes out of it and throws his hammer directly at Loki. But Loki, quote, freezes the molecules of the air to create an icy shield just strong enough to deflect Thor's hammer.
Okay, that's actually pretty badass.
It is cool, isn't it?
I appreciate that cool entrance on Thor's part, and I'm always a sucker for ice magic, so that was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Like, it looks really cool, too. Like, you can see this whole biz going on here.
Nice. We're getting the showdown.
Yeah.
We're getting the incredibly convoluted showdown.
So, Thor smashes through the ice wall, and he's like, "Nothing can save you from me now, Prince of Evil." To which Loki's just like, "Do you remember the name of this isle and the ones for whom it was named? The silent ones who live below, the natural enemies of the gods, the trolls!" And so from the ground, this pink hand reaches up and grabs Thor's ankle.
Oh god, the Mole Man's back!
And out of it comes, honestly, a very Mole Man-ish looking troll who grabs Thor and starts to pull him underground. So Loki's like bragging this whole time that this is the trap that I had planned for you. And now they'll drag you below where you shall slave in their mines forever.
And once you're done with that, they'll start hassling content creators on the internet.
God, no.
The worst scheme for the king of evil. Don't feed them! Whatever you do, don't feed the trolls!
So, Thor, to escape from this, calls down the lightning using Mjolnir and shoves the troll back into the earth. After which point, he turns back on Loki and goes to strike at him. And it turns out to be a mental image of Loki. So the real Loki is standing, like, and gloating behind him. So then Loki makes a whole bunch of versions of himself and just starts running around and confusing Thor.
I
yes,
also love
absolutely.
The next panel. Apparently Thor just swings his hammer really, really fast in a circle and blows them all away anyway.
That's all he does. That's exactly it. So what he does is the real Loki winds up holding onto a tree on the edge of the island. And he's like, "You still won't get me. I'll let myself plunge over the cliff before you can seize me." To which Thor is like, "Nope. Note how I rub my enchanted hammer along the ground, soaking up the strong flow of magnetic currents that give life to the trolls below." And he picks up the hammer, and Loki just straight up is magnetically attracted to it.
No! Oh, come the fuck on. Static Kling saves the day?
Static Kling saves the day.
And it looks like he's drawn to the hammer by his golden underwear, too.
I think he is, absolutely. So Loki's freaking out and asking him what he's going to do. And Thor's like, "With noble Odin's permission, I shall bring you to Earth, and there you will find others who are waiting for you. Others almost as powerful as I."
So I'm gonna take you away from this magical island prison and stick you on Earth, where clearly you won't cause any more trouble.
Speaking of Earth, we cut back there, where the Hulk is still, escaping from Iron Man.
Do
and
we have to come back here?
You were enjoying the Asgard stuff.
I was having fun watching Thor duke it out with Loki. Do we have to go back to mechanical clown Hulk running away from asshole Hank Pym?
Unfortunately, we do, because so what we see is the Hulk leaping high enough that he is passing by a plane. And they're like, "Hey, it's the Hulk making one of his prodigious leaps." And at that point, Iron Man flies next to the plane and he's like, "Attention, flight 738, this is Iron Man. Have you seen the Hulk? Repeat, have you seen the Hulk?"
"Yes, we have. Why didn't you?"
And the captain of the plane points out and he's just like, "It looked like he was heading towards Detroit."
Once again, a bold assumption to make. There are a lot of things in that general direction.
Well, it turns out that he was completely right, because the next time we see the Hulk, he's running through an auto factory in Detroit, and, like, we didn't see him land or anything. Like, the next thing that we see is him just running through this factory floor.
I'm just imagining him running through this factory and, like, tripping over tires and running into cars while Powerhouse is playing the... like the Looney Tunes.
Yes, yes.
And then when they finally catch him, he's been, like, mashed into a car.
So Iron Man rolls a big old, a series of tires down to try and stop the Hulk. And the Hulk is like, now it's my turn to attack. And he rips one of the machines off the assembly line and basically makes a makeshift, like, catapult to, throw this iron girder at Iron Man. And Iron Man, Iron Man catches it. It collides with his hands, and Iron Man smashes it up into a grapple, which he then throws back at the Hulk, and the Hulk is now up against the wall, but being the Hulk, he just kind of smashes his way out of this.
I love when superheroes in old comics don't use their powers. They just kind of grab shit from the environment around them and do things with it.
But unfortunately, now we're having another moment of unnecessary menace where Iron Man is completely just ruining this entire auto factory here in Detroit.
Seriously, these poor automotive workers are watching this go down going, oh my god, we need to run for our lives! The superheroes are doing things!
This is horrifying!
I'm gonna move to New York! Oh god, the Fantastic Four is here!
Well, maybe I can move to Central City. Oh no, the bay is irradiated there! Fuck! Their water supply is toxic!
Just a horrible wasteland full of Mad Max mutants and go, ah, the Fantastic Four were here.
So, after the Hulk smashes his way out of the factory, he's kind of getting back up to his feet, and Iron Man comes out and he's like, Hulk, I want to help you, but maybe the police are right. Maybe you are a menace. You're too dangerous to run around loose.
And thanks, friend.
So Iron Man is, you know, charging up on the Hulk, but at that moment, Thor arrives with Loki still attached to his hammer, and...
That's some powerful-ass magnetism.
It absolutely is. Thor is the master of magnetism. Magneto who?
Yeah, right?
So, they're like, who's Thor got there with his hammer? And Thor holds him out. He detaches him from the hammer and holds him out in front of him. And he's just like, this is Loki, my archenemy. It was he who planned the train wreck, and it was he who arranged for the Hulk to be blamed in order to make me appear so that he could trap me.
It's a stupid plan. It's a stupid, stupid plan.
To their credit, nobody here is like, wow, that's stupid and convoluted. Why did you think that would work?
Also, he had nothing to do with Hulk joining the circus.
Yeah, that just came right the fuck out of nowhere.
Seriously, like, that was not part of Loki's plan. The Hulk, of his own volition, came to the conclusion of, where am I going to hide after destroying this train trestle? I know, I'm going to dress in yellow and red and juggle animals at a circus. No one will find me there.
Hulk smart.
Hulk thought this through all the way. Everyone know Hulk green or sometimes gray. Hulk be yellow and no one will say anything.
So, naturally, Iron Man and the Hulk are now turning and charging on Loki. But Loki,
I just
have to explain this.
Oh,
because
God.
What Loki does is he starts to glow with pink energy, and he's like, no mortal may lay a hand on Loki. I have powers you've never dreamed of. And the Hulk asks, what's happening? To which Iron Man replies, he's made himself radioactive!
Okay, I guess that's a power that Loki can have. Why does he know what radioactivity is? And side question, why the fuck did you take him off the island?
Well, now he's irradiating the city of Detroit, so...
And somewhere Reed Richards is watching this on a big screen TV going, good, good.
Good. Phew. The onus is off me now.
I only irradiated a bay.
So, Loki is over here and he's like, I'll give you 10 seconds to leave, taking Iron Man with you, and then Thor and I will resume our battle. If you remain, you're doomed! So as Loki's standing here, just being radioactive,
not actively fighting, just standing there irradiating.
Yes. Behind them, there is a swarm of ants that are going over a nearby switch, to which they pull, and a trap door opens beneath Loki, and he falls into a lead-lined tank, which has been set up by Ant-Man and the Wasp.
When did that happen? Also, did they just beat Loki with a Scooby-Doo trap?
They did. They did indeed.
Now let's find out who you really are. Tom Hiddleston!
And I would have gotten away with it too if it hadn't been for you meddling Avengers and your Thor!
Okay, no joke. Please, someone from Marvel hear this, because I need this to be an actual parody.
So, there they go. He's in the tank now. And, they're like, this is where the trucks that carry radioactive waste from atomic tests dump their loads for eventual disposal in the ocean.
Thank God we just wound up here!
Yeah, really! So, Thor is like, Loki cannot remain radioactive for more than another few minutes, after which I shall open the tank and return him to where he belongs.
Why did you bring him here in the first place, then? I keep saying that, and no one is answering me!
I mean, maybe it was just to show them that Loki was responsible, like, here's Loki, this is what he did, I'm going to take him back now.
You could have just told them!
No, Thor is a firm believer in show, don't tell.
I mean, I respect that, but I don't respect it in a scenario where radioactivity could be involved!
So, Ant-Man at this point is just like, wait, before we separate, the Wasp and I have something to say. Fuck you, Jan!
That's honestly what I was expecting. I was seriously expecting him to just go, I'm so glad I could save this and Jan didn't get in the way.
No, he's just like, each of us has a different power. If we combined forces, we could be almost unbeatable. And Iron
Man...
And
then all of our names will be featured on the comic. Every single one of us. Everyone who matters. Right, Jan?
So Iron Man, presumably looking at the destroyed wreckage of this auto plant in Detroit around them, just goes, work as a team? Why not? I'm for it.
Look at the horror that has been unleashed because of you guys.
And Thor's just like, there is much good that we could do. Again, looking at the destroyed livelihoods of several auto workers in Detroit.
Look at the terror that they unleashed fighting each other. You got easily tricked by a bad guy, and you have destroyed things and joined a circus. What did any... There's no part of that that says, hey, we'd make a great crime-fighting team.
Then the Hulk chimes in and he's like, I'm sick of being hunted and hounded. I'd rather be with you than against you. So whether you like it or not, I'm joining the... Hey, what are you calling yourselves?
We're not gonna tell you because we don't want you to join. Look at the damage you've caused.
But, so, Wasp is over here like, it should be something colorful and dramatic, like The Avengers, or... And then Hank jumps in, or nothing, that's it! The Avengers! I thought of that all by myself!
Thank God I am so smart. Jan, get us all a cup of coffee to celebrate.
Iron Man and the Hulk and Thor are all pretty enthusiastic about this name and about this thing. And we end our story with a little bit of a narrative caption that just goes... And thus is born one of the greatest superhero teams of all time. Powerful, unpredictable, brought together by a strange quirk of fate, the Avengers are on the march, and a new dimension is added to the Marvel Galaxy of Stars.
I can't argue with a single thing in that, except crime fighter. Or superhero, whatever was worded there. That's the only thing where I'm like,
superhero teams.
Yeah, because you all just fought each other and destroyed an automotive plant and a circus, I would like to add.
Oh yeah, yeah. They gotta go and get that tent back at some point.
That would be the best ending line of that comic of, so who's bringing the tent back? The end.
So there we are. That is Avengers number one, the first story with the Avengers all together.
Oh my god. It started off where I'm like, okay, I can see the through line here, and then it took a hard left turn about halfway through.
May I ask at what point it took the hard left turn for you? I'm just curious.
Oh, gee. There are so many moments that I can possibly think of. How do I narrow them down? I'm going to go out on a controversial limb here and say when the Hulk joined the circus pretending to be a robot.
Yeah, absolutely. That is incredible. And again, that is part of the reason why I wanted to talk about this issue, because that to me is just... what the fuck territory?
Like, if you don't want to be discovered, stop being the Hulk! Just be Bruce! Turn back into Bruce and disappear like the old Hulk TV show. Go hitchhiking down the highway.
Yeah, note that we did not see Bruce Banner at one time during this comic. We just saw the Hulk the whole time.
Yeah, just be Bruce! Why? What? Leap of logic said that, oh, no one will bother me if I pretend to be a robot at the circus.
No one will bother Hulk if Hulk is circus robot. Hulk very good at thinking.
I'm gonna go ahead and kick off our end of episode tradition and saying that my craziest moment of this comic was absolutely Hulk joining the circus pretending to be a robot. Followed, close second, was Loki being magnetized by his golden underwear to Thor's hammer after Thor rubbed it on the ground a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another situation where I'm like, what the fuck is happening here? Okay, so for me, wackiest character is the Hulk. For joining the circus, and that being his first thing. But for me, wackiest situation is the bit at the end where Loki makes himself radioactive.
That's also a good one.
Yes, like, I'm just sitting here like, okay, this was your first plan? Well, no, actually, your first plan was throwing fake dynamite onto a railroad trestle in order to get the Hulk to attack it so that Thor would come and investigate, but...
That, honestly, is gonna be my... Loki takes the cake for the wackiest character for me, because this Rube Goldberg plan he came up with... I can't fathom why he made it this complicated.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, this whole convoluted plot is absolutely nuts to me.
Also, if you're gonna make yourself radioactive, maybe take 30 seconds to check your surroundings so you make sure you're not standing literally on top of a lead-lined box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, that's where we are. That's how they stopped Loki. And luckily the Avengers, you know, got Captain America a few issues later and he pulled this bunch of idiots together.
I was gonna say, like, okay, I need to be group dad and make sure this crazy shit doesn't always happen.
Well, I mean, by then, the Hulk had left the group. Like, he leaves the group within two issues because everybody is, like, willing to assume the worst of the Hulk.
Seriously? Like, why did he join in the first place? He was the first threat.
Because he's sick of being hunted and hounded. Don't you remember?
True. But once again, just be Bruce!
No, that's not the first solution the Hulk's gonna come up with. He's gonna come up with, join the circus, lest we forget.
I think the title of this episode should be Assumers Event, Assumers Assemble.
Assumers Assemble. I think you're right. That's a good title. I'm glad that you at least enjoyed this look through this story, because...
I did! I have so many questions that received no answers, but I guess it was fun.
No, it's a fun comic. It really is. It's just absolutely nuts. Like,
seriously.
But that's what we're here for.
I'm never gonna look at Ronald McDonald the same again. If I see someone dressed as Ronald, I'm gonna be like, can you juggle a seal, a horse, and an elephant?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, Hulk loving it.
All right, that seems like a good place to wrap it up for now, I think. Friends, thank you for listening to another episode of This Is Getting Graphic. We really, really appreciate your support. And if you'd like to support us a little more, you can send us over an email at thisisgettinggraphic@gmail.com. Or you can also check us out over on TikTok at This Is Getting Graphic.
That's right. And we are also available on social media on Facebook at This Is Getting Graphic and on Twitter at This Graphic Pod. And we'd also like to give a shout out to the creator of the opening and closing theme for this podcast, the Super Guy theme, which was composed by Mozart Mouse over on Pond 5. Great place to find royalty-free music. Give it a listen if you like what you've heard here.
Another great artist we would like to give a shout out to is, of course, the ever-talented Alex Hanbury, who did the art for this podcast, as well as our fantabulous banner. If you like her art and would like to see more, you can find her over on Twitter at Kona Okami. That's spelled KonaOokami. And if you'd like to support the podcast in another way, you can always leave a comment or leave a rating on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice.
And I guess that'll do it for us today.
Thank you so much for listening to us, guys. We really, really appreciate it. Thanks for sticking around. And as always, from us to you, stay super.